Today, Marcus, Evan, and Devin bring out their web shooters and batarangs to compare Spider-Man's PS4 debut to Batman's beloved Arkham trilogy. All that and nothing else on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello and welcome to Trust Circle episode 36, Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast. I am your host, as always, Devin Valdivia. I am joined once again by Marcus Garrett, Top Shelf Gaming founder, co-founder, crazy person, do the line.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
Cool, great. Also joining us today is the one and only Evan Myers Aquino, back from the entire world. Apparently London, apparently not London. I don't know. Where haven't you been? Hi, Evan.
What's up, Devin? I don't have a fancy line like Marcus. It's been a year and I haven't come up with one.
No, you don't need one. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You really, really don't.
You do.
No. We're back. Marcus, we're back. We did it. We got to 35 and now we got to 36.
I don't know how this happened, but I'm not mad about it.
It's just never going to die.
It's not. That's the trust circle will never be broken.
We'll episode like, 55 will be made in like 15 years or something.
Yeah. We'll be like the McElroy brothers and just stealth drop podcasts, just like left and right.
They're just dropping them all over the place now.
They just dropped one yesterday for
Trolls 2.
Yeah, Trolls 2. It's crazy.
Those boys. Well, we are just as good as those boys, just as popular, just as funny. Just as West Virginian,
just as financially stable,
just as financially stable, just as hungry for amiibos, and just as likely to be in Trolls 3. So, we're here for a very special occasion, but it's not National Video Games Day, which it also is. So happy National Video Games Day.
Wait, that's a thing.
Apparently, yep. I don't know. IGN said it was.
Everything's a thing.
The 12th. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that classic 12th of September, the day video games were born.
Maybe it was the birthday of the father of video games. You know the guy.
Miyamoto?
Tom Clancy.
Nope.
I don't think that was Miyamoto's birthday.
It's not me. No. Move on.
Well, by the time you're listening to this, it's not, so sorry you missed it.
Unless you didn't.
Unless you're listening right now. Hey,
Google. Anyway, Devin, why is today a special day?
We are here. Not for any made-up dumb national holiday, but because of a little friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Launched last week, and turns out it's really good.
It's so good!
It's very, it's okay. Very good.
It's so good.
Marcus, you can go sit in the corner.
It's average.
Yeah, so Evan, you want to talk about Spider-Man with us, so we're going to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys not want to talk about Spider-Man? Like,
I want to talk about Spider-Man.
This is all that I've been thinking about pretty much for the last week. I got back from my trip on Wednesday, and the game came out on Friday. And then, like, starting from Friday on, that's basically all I did while I was getting over my jet lag. It was just, like, hide in my room, make sure the blinds were closed, and just play this game. And, oh, man, it's so good. I realized that I said that I wanted to start talking about it, but I didn't even know where to start because there's so much good stuff.
Well, let's start from the very beginning. Just in quickly, like prior to the game coming out, what were your guys' kind of anticipation, excitement, hype levels, expectation levels, kind of going into it?
I think I actually had relatively low expectations because I got to play the demo of it for a little bit at E3, but I didn't finish the demo. I had to leave early, and I didn't get like a good taste for the combat, so I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. And just from all of the like footage that I was seeing going into it, it didn't look like it was going to be a Breath of the Wild kind of situation, or like a God of War, where the game like feels like it's kind of pushing video games forward, you know, where it feels like it's pretty different from what came before. So I was a little skeptical about like, okay, well, how good is it going to be? Like, is it going to be... It seems like this might just be an 8 out of 10, because it kind of seems like a Ubisoft open world. It just kind of seems, aside from it being Spider-Man, like it was kind of generic. And having the Spider-Man elements look like was going to be what would elevate it. And that is definitely the case, but, like, this game has been blowing my mind just in terms of how it's constructed and how they do the story and how all the things that you couldn't see before in the pre-release footage, like the story and the characters and just all the context for the open world makes this game feel so alive and tangible. It's just incredible. So I had low expectations going into it, and the game like blew me away right at the start. The second that you get control of Spider-Man in that opening is perfect. The lead into it is amazing, gets you so excited, and then you go do one of the most baller things that Spider-Man can do.
It's the second PlayStation exclusive game this year to open with press R2 to start game.
Yeah.
God of War had you swing
very
that
good
axe.
Games.
Man, maybe all the best games you press R2.
Maybe that's the secret to a Game of the Year nominee. You know, yeah. maybe
R2 in a photo mode, and you're a contender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Marcus? Coming into Spider-Man, what were your feelings?
Well, before I get into that, Evan did remind me of like something. Is that like Spider-Man? excuse me. Had like a very. What I would say, like, a very peculiar build-up. Because pretty much for most of its, you know, development, like, we didn't know a lot about that game.
Anything.
Like, it's like they, like, showed us a couple teasers, but it didn't reveal what combat was like until, I think, this most recent E3 where mm-hmm. they basically did that one stealth mission. And everything that they showed, like, didn't actually make it into the game, right?
Like, no, I think everything they showed was in the game.
What do you mean by that?
Like, the helicopter chase scene?
What are you talking about?
That was there. Yeah.
What?
Did you just black out for that scene of the game?
Maybe I did.
Yeah, dude. It's holding, like, the crate below it, and it's smashing through.
Oh no, like, no, this, yes, that's totally.
Yeah, and you get hit, and wake up, and it's there's some slight differences, but that scene's definitely in the game.
Okay,
yeah,
but
it's great in the game. I messed up that QuickTime event.
Oh no!
I was so mad. I was so mad at myself.
But tell me though, did that thing happen where like Spider-Man swings through the cafe and like runs through and then like jumps out on the other side?
The cafe scene was not, but the office scene was.
Yeah,
the sprint to the office was.
It's not like it that scene in that trailer reminded me a lot of like the Assassin's Creed Unity going through interiors, and that wasn't in like you can't really go into an interior in this game unless it's scripted.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. Like,
we're just
that doesn't bother
we're,
me.
We're
at
just
all.
I mean, Marcus, you're right though. You know, everything they showed before was just garbage and made up because the puddles were different. So
yeah,
well, yeah.
It was all nonsense.
It's
so.
Just fake news. But to answer the actual question, like my expectations were, they were pretty similar to Evan's. I would say like I was looking forward to it. Like as Devin and I discussed, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. With Batman being number two.
Same.
And so, and I'm sure with our like upbringings, there's like probably a really logical reason why we all kind of match up, but like
we're a bunch of nerds,
that could be one of several reasons. Yes. But like I was looking forward to the story. But I wasn't looking forward to the open world aspect of it. I'm not really excited by Metropolis open worlds. I don't really like doing things on like in like a realistic city because I feel like everything just kind of looks the same. And after playing it and, you know, like getting into it, I do feel like it landed where I expected it to in terms of like repetitiveness and just like all of the buildings just kind of looking like buildings. And like there is some variance in like really distinct like locations, but overall, was what I expected, but then it outperformed my expectations in basically every other aspect. And yeah, I've been pretty stoked on this game.
I like it. So I'm kind of the odd one out. I had pretty high expectations going into this. This was one of the games that I've kind of really zeroed in on this year. You know, God of War, I didn't really care about until after it came out, and then that was a big surprise for me. Red Dead is another one I'm excited for next month, but
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
Again, it's Rockstar, so they're not showing anything. They don't care. They know it's going to sell. It's fine. But Spider-Man was one of those things where when it was announced, you know, 2.5 years ago, whatever, it took me by surprise. And it was so exciting to see, you know, not only that they were actually making another Spider-Man game, but it wasn't a movie tie-in. It was made by a really strong studio. It was an exclusive, and, you know, not to play like the PlayStation is better than Xbox, but just like any exclusive game is going to get like an extra level of polish and care and treatment.
Yeah.
One, because that company, you know, has a lot of incentive to make that the best they can, but also you're developing for one system. You know, you have one spec in mind, so
mm-hmm.
you can optimize a lot more efficiently. So just knowing all those things we put together, I was like, oh, okay, like this is, you know, and seeing, you know, how the MCU is blowing up, you know, since the last Spider-Man game was for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, you know, so this is kind of a whole new approach to a Marvel game.
It's also got the Marvel logo on it, like, huge.
They're
not going to let
Marvel
something that
Spider-Man.
Isn't quality go out the doors.
Yeah, you know,
that's
and
so
the game opens
cool.
up with a little Marvel comic roll. You know, they're putting their all, I mean, and this version of Spider-Man is being integrated into the Marvel Comics universe.
Whoa,
you know,
no
they're,
way.
They're, oh, yeah.
Oh,
I think
that's so cool.
There's an event going on called Spider-Geddon. I think the first issue just came out this week. And it's introducing this Spider-Man to like the big Spider-Verse.
That's it.
Which is, I told Marcus this, I suspect there might be a
cameo?
From the Spider-Man
Ooh.
in Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh. Hey,
we'll see.
You'll just get like a shot of his suit or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have a feeling there's
I'd
gonna
be
at least
that.
One scene where we just see like all the Spider-Men. And this one's probably gonna be in it.
In the background with the white spider suit.
Yeah. Just hanging out there. You know, but so it's so like I love Spider-Man. I remember playing Spider-Man 2 when it, you know, I went to Hollywood Video like the day it came out and they had it and I grabbed it and like I like
oh, Hollywood Video, man.
I
damn.
You know, and like I've played a few of the Spider-Man games since then. I love open world games. I love open world city games. I love the Arkham games. And so this was checking off all of my
mm-hmm.
happy boxes. So I've been on the Reddit. I've been, you know, scouring YouTube for videos in this for the past year. And so I was afraid that my expectations were too high for this game. But I feel like all of them were either met or exceeded.
That's awesome.
Kind of as release grew near and like realizing that this is probably going to be a franchise carrying forward. It might be tying into other Marvel games in the future. I kind of came down to, I want the swinging to be good and I want the story to be okay. Like those are my two. I want the swinging to be good and I want the story to be like worth my time. And it well met those two expectations
and
hit a bunch of other ones. You know, we'll get into combat later, but like
right.
that blew me away. So I, having played through it and beat it, I have a lot of critiques I can give to almost every aspect of the game, but very few actual complaints about it.
Mm.
If that makes sense. Like they're like,
I feel that I want to hear your critiques for sure though.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to
yeah,
the points.
Every
element of the game, I can be like, you know, there's this and this and this that, you know, could be better,
right.
isn't working, whatever. But at the end of the day, like I can't really complain about it. And the sum of its parts are is something else entirely. Like it's a really neat game.
Yeah, I
plus
feel
it
that.
Has photo mode.
I hate games where you have to actually pause the game to go into photo mode. Like
there
the first
needs
game
to
that
be
I played,
hockey.
The first game that I played that made me like enjoy photo mode a lot was Shadow of the Colossus. When I play that game, I take so many photos, way too many photos, and I love it. And it's just so much harder to remember to do it in Horizon Zero Dawn or Spider-Man when you have to hit the pause button. Like, we got to figure out a universal button for that.
Yeah, well, right now, the left and right D-pad buttons are not being used.
Yep.
They should either be a quick change for your gadgets or a hotkey for your photo.
But then what if you miss the heal and you accidentally hit photo mode?
Well, then you get to take a sweet photo and then heal when you're done.
True.
Yeah, totally works. Well,
just to like go back to this expectation thing real quick, I thought of the best way to like describe what I thought going into it. I thought that it was going to be a good game, but I didn't think it was going to be a real Game of the Year contender, even though Sony was pushing it like super hard, and I feel like they really want it to be up in there with the conversation with God of War, and I was not expecting it to be, and I messaged Marcus last night, like, I think this might be the Game of the Year. and that might have just been, like, watching one of my friends play through the first mission and, like, just remembering how much the game goes from there, but it's definitely a contender for me, and I was not thinking it would be.
Yeah. Any other kind of initial thoughts or like feelings having, we've all beaten the game.
Are we going to do spoilers here or should we try to keep it safe?
I think we should try to.
It's going to be hard to talk about some things without going into some spoilers, I think.
Yeah.
Light spoiler.
Warning. I like light spoilers.
We can
be respectful where it's possible.
Right.
Yeah, we like, can allude to things.
If I want to talk about bad guys, should I mention like what bad guys are in the game, or should I like refrain from some of that ish? I don't know if you guys know exactly what I'm trying to get at here because I'm trying to play it safe. But there are like story threads, you know, that you don't necessarily see coming.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all the villains are basically common knowledge at this point.
Right. Yeah.
Do we feel good about that?
Yeah, I think I'm comfortable with that. If it's a widely known Spider-Man villain, you're pretty much gonna find it in this game.
You all have seen Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
The only reason why I bring... Well, there are a couple of reasons why I bring that up, but one of the main ones is because one of the big villains in the game, I didn't think he was going to appear until the second game. I thought that they were going to be building him up over the course of this game, and then the next game was going to be his.
Mm.
And now I don't know if we want to say who that is, but that's something that I was like questioning throughout the game, was whether this guy was going to become the villain now for this game, or
they're gonna hold it off.
Yeah, I think they made the right choice.
Yeah,
the story's so good. It's so
story is
freaking
very good.
The
gorgeous.
Story was so much better than I thought it was gonna
be. I love this Peter Parker. He's freaking good.
I love all of these characters. Like that. Like when they revealed that Miles was in the game.
Hey guys, hold on. We really got to get this show going. Okay, we have a lot to cover.
You're right.
In like five different subjects.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, we will enter into our main topic of the night.
Marcus needs to pee.
Got him.
All right, Marcus is back from the bathroom, so we can get back to the discussion.
I literally didn't use the bathroom.
Marcus, you took so long.
It was really weird.
Man,
he like went and came back and then immediately had to go again.
Oh my gosh.
We'll talk about this later, Marcus. We need to figure out a better system.
It was like trying to catch a couple pigeons. Trying to get Marcus in here.
Just gotta hold it in, Marcus. Okay, so we're gonna get into our Spider-Man discussion in a more controlled way. And to do that, I'm going to ring in Evan here. He's gonna take us down some categories that we can discuss.
Thanks, Marcus. Appreciate that. Oh, sorry, I was talking to Marcus. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
But now you have to present to the class. So
okay.
Take it away.
Well, I'm sure. Well, I've bugged you guys about this quite a bit, but I really want to talk about this game in relation to the Batman Arkham series, because there's so much of the Arkham franchise in Spider-Man's DNA. I feel like it's so obvious in terms of the combat system, with the way that the counters work and the way that there's a combo system and there are finisher moves that you get after building up a combo. The stealth sections are really similar. It's a superhero game. Like, it just seems like they're very similar. So now we kind of have like a codified superhero genre, and I want to do a sort of who wore it best kind of thing between these two franchises. And obviously Spider-Man is only one game, so we're going to have to, like, for some of these, it's going to be a little tough to compare because we're going to have to, like, talk out most of the Arkham franchise as compared to just this single entry. But I think it's still a worthwhile comparison. And so the first thing that I wanted to talk about between these two things are the story. How did you feel about the story in Spider-Man versus the story in the Arkham games? And I guess, do you guys want to pick a specific Arkham game to reference this to, or do you just kind of want to go on a
case? Is there a good one to anchor it to? If we were going to pick one, I would say Arkham City is probably the best anchor.
I would say City is probably the closest analog to Spider-Man as well. I think the scope of Arkham Asylum is a little more close to Spider-Man. But I know, Mark, you haven't played Asylum.
I think Asylum's tougher because it's more of a Metroidvania and less of an open world.
The style of the world is different. Actually, that's why, I mean, Marcus, you should play Asylum. I think you'll like it more than City. So City is a wonderful game.
City is a wonderful game, and I think it's definitely the best. I know some people say Asylum is, but I think City is the best in that series. I could definitely see a case for Arkham Knight being compared here, just because it's on the same generation of hardware.
And it has a photo mode.
It does?
Oh. It does. It has a pretty good photo mode. Let's stick with City.
Yeah.
And then pull in from, you know, something from Arkham Origins, you know.
Yeah.
The game that Rocksteady refuses to acknowledge.
Okay, so story for Batman Arkham City versus story for Spider-Man.
They're both good. The thing with Spider-Man's story compared to Arkham City's story feels like a comic series.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Spider-Man's story feels more like an MCU story.
Yeah.
Spider-Man feels more cinematic. And Arkham's feels a little slower. I think it has a few more characters kind of in play.
I think it's a longer game.
It's a longer game, and I think it feels more like serialized, I guess, in a sense. Spider-Man's always kind of pushing you forward.
Mm-hmm.
In
Spider-Man, you kind of meet most of the people who you need to know about in the beginning, whereas in City, you don't meet Ra's al Ghul until like a third of the way through it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like with Arkham as a series, right? Like, I would say that Arkham Knight probably had the best story that was more character driven.
That's surprising.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really? I guess I'm thinking specifically about the Joker parts, right? I felt like this was a Batman that I could connect to most in terms of just like being a human and having like inner demons, right? Mm-hmm. And like I feel like Spider-Man does a great job of like getting into everyone's, you know, like character and yeah. like really fleshing that out and making you feel for even the bad guys and making you sympathize with, you know, Peter despite his flaws, with all of the villains despite their flaws, whereas the Batman series, it always feels like, you know, like Batman is the good guy and everyone else is bad, and that's just very much the way that is. And I can't really say that one is better than the other, but I can say that I probably enjoyed the nuance of Spider-Man's character development more than I did in Batman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could say that Spider-Man, the character Spider-Man, you know, actually has character development. I don't know how much character development Batman actually has from game to game. He just kind of stays Batman and does what Batman would do. And he ultimately wins because he's Batman.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Spider-Man is a very different person, and Peter Parker is a very different person from the start to the end of just this first game, whereas Batman at the end of Arkham Knight, well, aside from exactly where he ends, you know, his character is the same character.
Yeah.
He's tested.
He didn't do anything that he wouldn't have done, like, earlier.
Yeah, I mean, like his the world changes around him, but he stays kind of, he's the anchor to the world.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that has to do with the difference in nature of the story that you pointed out earlier? Because in comic books, I haven't read a lot of comic books, at least not in a serialized format. And I feel like you kind of want your character to grow on a story,
have that
also to kind of end back in a spot where you can keep the story going forward again.
Sure.
Whereas in like a cinematic experience, like a movie experience, there's a lot of talk about arc and character growth and character change.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's exactly it. I, you know, yeah, I mean, Batman and both characters are decades old.
Yeah.
You know, and their characters, at least, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man's always Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, Amazing Spider-Man's always Amazing
Except
Spider-Man.
Except when he's Miles Morales.
Except when he's Miles Morales. But then you look at, you know, like Tony Stark's character arc over the course of the 10 years of the MCU, like Iron Man 1 Tony Stark is very different from Infinity War Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of have this more straight, there's one thread going forward. And so I think Spider-Man definitely does follow that more so, and Batman follows what you said about you know, a serialized comic where you want to take them on a journey, but they kind of have to circle back around so that you can take that journey again, essentially.
So, Devin, would you say that, which one of those do you think works best in a game then?
They both work. I think I'm more interested right now in a story like Spider-Man's.
Same. 100%. That's actually, the story is one of the primary reasons why I consider this to be a Game of the Year contender, because I think the fact that you get to take part in this journey and really direct it in a way that I think very few open world games have given players the ability to feel like they're in this much control over that story, because all the side activities that are usually distractions in other games, like, they feel like they feed into the story in here. Like, it kind of makes sense that if Peter's, like, flying through this area, he can stop and pick up, like, a backpack that he just happened to leave there. It's kind of good that they're simple and almost banal, because you can do them on the fly, you can do them easily, and they still feel related to Spider-Man. And it makes, like, you get to play it how you want to play it. I played almost without doing any side activity. I went, like, straight through the storyline, because that always felt like the most pressing thing to me.
Yeah.
So I didn't do any
of the side missions.
Yeah. So I didn't do a lot of crimes, but I can imagine somebody who, like, always stops for crimes, and that's
that
just...
That was me. Yeah.
Spider-Cop never says no.
I think there were a couple times where I ignored crimes, but, but if I'm on my way to, like, something, and a crime popped up, I'm like, okay, like, you know,
I'm Spider-Man. It's like, this is my responsibility.
Yeah, it's like it's like all these crimes are like people, like, could get killed, and I'm like, okay, like this will take me a 3-minute detour, and then I can go back to whatever I was doing. But like,
Electro's not gonna move, right?
I don't know, but I love how the game even reacts to those kinds of choices.
That just happened to me. Jonah's podcast came up and he had a guy on who was like, yeah, I saw this people steal a car, and Spider-Man was like right in the area, but he just kept going. And Jonah's like, you know why? Because he's selfish. And I was like, ah, yeah. Man, this game is really judging me right now.
It just got me.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
Yeah. I found myself at times I would kind of see what the crime was and then decide if I wanted to intervene. Mm. Like, oh, a drug deal on the roof. Yeah, they're fine. Or like, oh, like a car accident. Okay, well, I got to help them. They're stuck under a car somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of decide, like, is this something that Spider-Man needs to be at or something? And I would go do it or not based on that.
The cops are already chasing the stolen car.
Exactly. Yeah. You can kind of just let them go.
Yeah.
They're fine.
And that's all cool until the end when, like, you realize that in order to complete each district, you have to do, like, a billion crimes in order to, like, check them all off.
It's not
New
that
a big
bad.
City.
It's like 25 each per... It's, like, 25 per district.
So there's my thing with open world games where I think I differ from you, Marcus, is where, like, I don't...
We're getting a little off topic.
Yeah.
We could talk about world design. That's in a later section. So, like, story.
Remind me back then. So back to the story. Something I want to talk about here regarding non-Batman or Spider-Man characters. As far as the other playable characters in both these games. In Arkham City, you play as...
Oh, Catwoman.
You have the Catwoman. Is that Arkham Knight or Arkham City?
That's
both?
Arkham City.
Okay.
No, Arkham Knight, she's just in the Riddler house.
That's right. Because she's just waste. There, just annoyed at you. So you play as Catwoman in Arkham City, and you play as Mary Jane. And then you play as Miles,
have, like, a whole host of characters. Like, at some point, you can play as Robin... You can play as Harley Quinn.
That's just challenge maps, isn't it?
Arkham City City, you can play as Robin in challenge maps, but that's different than, like, the story wise.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So specifically, because Catwoman has her story progression with Two-Face. So how would you compare the quality or, like, the style of those sorts of missions?
That's tough.
I would say that I think narratively Spider-Man works better, but, like, mechanically I didn't really enjoy, like, playing as Mary Jane or Miles, and I think it's a lot of that has to do with, like, it's like you, like, go from... Like, I just don't like the helplessness of the only thing that you can really do in those missions is just, like, be caught or not be caught. And being caught isn't fun, but then not being caught is so mindless that it's just kind of, like, I don't know. It just lost a lot of its... got old really quickly.
I think the last missions for each of those two made the prior missions worthwhile. Because running away from the... I'm not going to finish. spoiler. But the mechanics are a bit more developed for one of the characters. So you have a lot more latitude than you did in the previous one. And for the other character... just the situation that you're put in feels a lot more desperate, and so just the emotion that that made me feel, I think, was really cool. But I would agree that they work better narratively in Spider-Man, and mechanically Catwoman fits into Arkham City much smoother. Yeah,
I think Catwoman's more fun to play as, because you know, you get to fight and she has her own moveset and all of that. But one, I didn't mind the stealth missions. Again, like I have a lot of patience for gameplay if I'm into the story.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know what else I would expect to be able to do, because the whole point of being this character is that, like, you are not Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You are kind of helpless, and it's, for me, especially with the Mary Jane missions, it's the idea of, like, in spite of how helpless you are, like, offensively, like, you kind of reach the climax of the story playing as Mary Jane. Like, she's kind of the one that kind of opens, like, the big revelations.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess for me, too, I just didn't buy a lot of it. Like, I understand Mary Jane's position of like, yeah, I really want to help, like I am capable, like, I'm this headstrong reporter, and I have just as big of a heart for doing good as Peter does, and like, I get that. I feel like I kind of assume the mindset of Peter, of just like, okay, but like,
but I'm Spider-Man.
It's like, yeah, it's like you're going into situations where there are armed men with guns or like people who will kill you on site. Like, I don't care. Like, please don't put yourself in that situation, because you can't defend yourself. I think it's a different story if like they had options, or like, I guess, I mean,
do you want Mary Jane doing, like, stealth takedowns like Sam Fisher?
It's like, well, I mean, at some point she kind of does.
I didn't like that, actually.
I didn't like that when you got that
one offensive thing to do. I was like, this doesn't seem like Mary Jane.
I liked it. I liked it. I liked it because it finally gave you some agency.
Yeah, you had some options. You weren't just following the only linear path.
But then gameplay-wise, it was like, well, it like removed challenge from a section of the game that already wasn't challenging. It's just like, oh, well, now I can just eliminate enemies from this fight. So I don't know. I'm really conflicted about those sections. But overall, they didn't work for me. I know that's been pretty polarizing. I know there are a lot of people who really enjoy it, but I'm definitely not one of them.
I would have liked some more time to have more discussions as Mary Jane and Miles.
Yeah,
like when you're in Feast as Peter.
All right. Hold up, guys, because we gotta move on. We gotta move on to the. We've been talking about story for a while. I feel like we gotta move on to the other sections.
All right, push us along.
We good? So do we have a consensus? Are we just talking, or do you guys want to feel like we should pick one out of these?
Should we all just kind of vote and then, like, majority rules?
Three. Let's count to three, and then we'll all say what we'd pick for story. So one, two, three, and then say the word. Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three. Spider-Man.
Okay.
Hey, unanimous. Look at that. That's cool.
Arkham City is a good game. That's such a good game.
It is a good game. It's got a good story too. I love how the thread pulls back, revealing who's actually in charge in that game. Okay, so the next topic that I wanted to touch on, and this is where you'll be able to talk about that stuff that I stopped you talking about before, Devin, is navigation. And so basically just like how you get around the open world. And I suppose just to roll it into what you're talking about and to get a bit more depth out of the conversation, how you interact with the open world as Spider-Man or as Batman.
Gotcha. I mean, Spider-Man is web swinging, so I mean, as far as navigating the world, like,
yeah, this one's a bit rough on somebody, but like, I think that there are some aspects to Arkham City. Like, Arkham City has much more developed side content, I feel.
Yes, it does.
And more like stuff that engages with the mechanics that the game has already like established that you get to use in creative ways.
Those Riddler trophies.
Would you have liked to see something Riddlery?
Like, I would have loved like Mysterio something, or like,
oh,
just,
I don't think I would have liked that. Puzzles are so slow. This game is all about fast pace, which is why I think those stealth sections are so frustrating to some people.
I mean, there's so much of the swinging and fast pace and the fighting and stuff, though. Like, I'm also the guy who loved those the lab puzzles. Like, I loved them.
Oh, I wish there was so much more of that.
Like, I got through. I was like, oh man, I wish there was like twice as many of these. Like, they're just fun little puzzles, and like having Peter comment on them, you know, and interacting with that scene, you know, going back there again and again and seeing things change and the new audios and all of the detail and the hidden notes and the whiteboards. Like, I loved all of that.
Briefly going back to story, because I feel like this is all connected, but everything that you do has a story tie into it. There's no bit of dialogue. There's no side quest that like doesn't feed into the larger narrative. And so when you're talking about navigating through the open world, like it's like you're not just navigating that, you're like navigating the actual story.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome.
I'm trying to remember how Batman's side quests, at least in City, do they filter back in the story, or are they more separate?
They're more separate. Like, in Arkham City, the one that immediately pops into my head is the Mad Hatter one, where you go through some mind-bending looking stuff. There are the Riddler trophies, obviously. There's a Mr. Freeze side quest, right? Where you find his wife, or is that part of the main quest? Bane has a side quest in...
I thought that was part of the main quest.
Well, okay. Bane has a side quest in Arkham City, though, I think. And so does Zaz and Deadshot.
Oh, yeah, Zaz is... And then there's the Azazel stuff in Arkham Knight, which doesn't go anywhere. No. That actually... Doesn't that start in Arkham City?
He's, like, there in Arkham City, but you can just, like, find him, like, and he says, I'll be watching you, or I'll be studying you, or something like that. And then he just goes away. And then in Arkham Knight, he pops back, in the story thread. Which is kind of cool. And I actually, Azazel in Arkham Knight doesn't feed back into the main story. And none of the side quests in any of the Arkham games really do. They don't in City, and they don't in Knight. Like, there's that whole... I forget the character's name, but the whole, like, serial killer stuff. But they're, like, little things that build into a climax. And there's only a couple of those in Spider-Man. I think there's really only one. But in Arkham Knight, like, the Azazel thing, like, you do all these challenges with him, and then afterwards you have this really cool story revelation about him and him being mind-controlled and stuff like that. So I think Arkham Knight's side quests have a bit more meat to chew on, ultimately. But the question is whether that's good or bad, because Spider-Man is such a breezy game, and one of the things that I think makes this open world so much fun is how just easy it is to do anything, to transition in and out of, like, doing a side quest or doing a hideout takedown. It's just all of those happen so fast, and then you just get back to, you know, running on walls and jumping off of points and trying to do wall crawling and getting spotted by guards.
You know, and I mean, I think that all of that, you know, the side quest, even how you navigate the world, you can take that back to what we said earlier, just the differences of the characters and just the style of the storytelling in general. You know, Batman being a slower paced, you know, personality, more brooding and contemplative in general, you know, getting more sidetracked on these separate, you know, paths, feels more Batman and detective-y. Whereas mm-hmm. Spider-Man is just like this dude, like, oh, well, while I'm here swinging by, let me just take care of, you know, like,
friendly
I'm
neighborhood of, Spider-Man, he's hopping exactly. by to help out.
Like, I'm thinking of that scene in Homecoming where, you know, he's swinging by and he stops the guy stealing the bike, and then he goes and stops the guy who thinks he's stealing the car, and, like, he's just, yeah. like, you know, he's going along his way just doing things, like, as he's moving. And I think that the side quests in both games kind of reflect the characters in that sense. I remember when Arkham City came out and, you know, you had the glide and the grapple hook and that being, you know, kind of like the most fun I'd had navigating an open world before. Mm-hmm. You know, and you using Batman's tools and using his suit and his intellect. And I feel like you get that it's that same idea with Spider-Man just mm-hmm. because he is a nimble, younger, faster character, yeah. like it's just so much more immediate, and I think that just translates better into video games.
Mm.
Yeah, because video games are fast, or they are usually better when they are.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, how do you play open world games differently than Marcus?
And can you I enjoy
tie
them.
That into this?
No, I mean, I will just spend time driving around in GTA,
mm.
you know, not even doing a mission, not even doing a side mission. I will just get in a car and just drive around. And even in the few days Spider-Man's been out, I've just picked a cool suit, picked a time of day that I think matches, yeah. and I've just swung around. Whereas Marcus Same. Kind of talking to you, like, that feels like something you're not really into.
I am in Spider-Man. I
think hey, got him.
I don't know, like, yeah, I've, like, Devin is the kind of person who is the target audience for a game like No Man's Sky, and yep. I'm not. Okay. And I think we can just kind of put it that way, you know.
That makes a lot of sense.
I just like having
a clear path forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So and even if that path is like, cause now that I've been the game, I'm trying to just do all of the side stuff.
All like, those 50,000 crimes in each.
Yes. Location. But that's still a path. You know, I still feel like I'm yeah. doing something.
It still feeds back into the satisfying aspects of the game. Like if you do a random crime that you run into, you're gonna fight some people and the combat is fun.
Yeah.
If you like run into a hideout, you can stealth take down some people, that's fun too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a pretty good segue. So in terms of navigation, which one of these games, let's say the entire Arkham City, because that navigation like really changed over time. So even knowing where it went with like mm-hmm. the Batmobile and the flying and all that and the way that you interact with the missions compared to Spider-Man. And we'll do it after three. So one, two, three. Spider-Man
with an underline.
Cool. Okay. So the next part that I want to talk about is combat. And so for this, I'm not just talking about like when you're fighting a group of thugs. I also am thinking about stealth mission aspects. Mm-hmm. So like the options that you have to take down people stealthily and the tools at your disposal when you're just beating the crap out of people. So anything involving taking down enemies.
I think this one's pretty easy for me. I'm going to go with Batman. And mm-hmm. here's why. Like, I mean, not only did Batman kind of invent this, you know, system
that is so
combat,
huge now.
That is, yeah, it's just like, it like set the new standard of, you know, third-person action combat. And I think it still, like, does it best because, I mean, I'll just say this, like, the way that Spider-Man disappoints me, where it falls in terms of, like, the, you know, actual fighting combat section, is that you can, since it's an Insomniac game, you have your weapon wheel, and you can only have one weapon or one gadget selected at a time. And when the combat is so frenetic and like you're always doing stuff, it's always such a jarring crawl whenever you have to just switch from your web shooter,
yeah, to the web bomb,
your
to the electric
bomb
web,
to your drone, and it's like, yeah. these are like gadgets that you can chain together in really creative ways, but like
I just started doing that.
Actually implementing them and actually changing between each one is such a just not a smooth process.
It gets in the way of that flow.
Yeah. Whereas Batman, all of your gadgets are like mapped to certain button combinations, mm-hmm. and so you can grapple hook and then switch to your shocker, whatever, and then switch to like this, and like all within that same flow, and it just feels so natural.
I mean, they literally call it combat flow in that game. Like that's the name of the mechanic.
That's
there.
True. That's very true.
So you can switch back and forth between your last used gadget in Spider-Man by double tapping L1.
What?
Oh.
It's a tooltip during a loading screen.
I didn't read those.
It really needs to be a thing in game because
that still doesn't sound
that's
like
very useful.
Wait, can you like chain that though, or does that just switch between like two?
So you can basically have one. You have two. You can have two set up, and then when you change to the next one and they're with the wheel, then it will go to the last two.
I think that's an issue when all three of us have beaten his game and only one of us knew that.
Yeah, and I found out after I beat the game.
Okay,
it was during one of the base missions, and I died. And I was like, you can double tap L1 to go back to your previous gadget. overall, I definitely agree with you. And I think, again, part of that goes back to the characters. Spider-Man has superpowers. And so a lot of his combat can just be like, I hit you real hard and I swing and I have webs. Batman, I think, is more of a gadget-focused character.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, like I don't mind it, but mechanically playing it, like Batman does feel better switching and mixing things up because Spider-Man encourages you to do that. And you, as the difficulty kind of ramps up, you kind of need to mix and match more, and having to pull up that wheel does slow things down. It's something that could be fixed by adding, you know, just scroll through your items with a D-pad button, but right now, it's just not. I was surprised at how much I liked the combat in Spider-Man, though. I didn't go in expecting to really care about it. I was like, it'll probably be fine. It'll be fine. And I actually am enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Batman's does feel more refined. Like, it has more depth. They made four games, using that
system
mechanic. So, I mean, by Arkham Knight, like, you almost kind of have too many options, if anything.
Yeah.
Batman feels like a guy who punches people more than Spider-Man.
Yeah. I will say, in Spider-Man's favor, though, I think the enemy design is better in Spider-Man than it is in Arkham. At least the way that you deal with them, because like in the Arkham series, whenever you run into the ones with the baton and you have to stun them first, it can be like, I don't know, sometimes I have trouble like noticing that if I'm in the middle of a flow, like it's hard to notice just like a little glint of blue at the end of a stick. And that's always been frustrating to me when I like accidentally run into them. And with Spider-Man, it's like kind of obvious and a lot more forgiving. Like if you'd accidentally hit a dude with a melee weapon, you don't lose your combo, you don't take damage. It's just like, okay, now I dodge under you. And so your flow can keep going past that. You have, like, not necessarily more time to react because you end up, like, I guess, like, a bit of a more of a safety window to react to them. And the way that you react to them is to continue your movement rather than stop and do a different move.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really big mechanical difference between the two games is Batman, when you get stopped, like, you get stopped. Like, you have to start from the beginning of wherever you were. Spider-Man really encourages, like, okay, like, you need to do this, but keep going. Like, just keep moving.
Yeah.
I think too, and like I agree with all of the positive things, but just more critiques for like Spider-Man's combat is one of my pet peeves in games is like when there's too much happening off screen, and like like sometimes just the way the spaces are designed, or even some of the crimes, it's like you don't know where enemies are, but they're kind of coming at you, or
they're shooting
like
a rocket at you.
Yeah,
just suddenly rocket.
Or like maybe you've taken down 10 of them, and you're like, why hasn't
the animation to show that it's over triggered?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, because there's one guy like 100 miles away that's
hiding behind a car, like clipping through a wall.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, I guess I'm not done yet, and then by that time, like, because the game is so based on momentum, and then when you have enemies that are so far out, it's like you can't always retain that momentum through if they're like too far off, and then and then so you're kind of like, you might have to like walk over, and you're like, okay,
your little weird combat walk.
Yeah. and I think there are plenty of moments where I'm just like, oh, like when I was in the thick of it, like this was really fun, but now there's like three enemies that are kind of scattered.
Yeah, they're just spread out, and you just need to go and like punch you once, like web you to a wall. It's like you're just kind of playing like janitor at the end of a fight, instead of feeling like you just like accomplished something cool.
What about stealth? What about predator mode versus sneaky Spidey?
I still go with Batman.
Yeah, you have so many more options with Batman. Yeah.
You don't like being able to tell when somebody is safe to take out?
I do like that. I don't know why Spider-Man would necessarily know that.
It's his goggles. Spider sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. One, he has spider sense. Two, he has a suit AI. Yeah. He references a suit AI, and also like he's been doing it for a while. So like, I guess it's fine. But yeah, I mean the stealth is. I think I actually enjoyed being playing as MJ or Miles more than the stealth sections of being Spider-Man.
Wow, hot take.
And Batman stealth is like the one thing Spider-Man does have is as far as where you can perch basically anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batman kind of has like the four points you can go to,
and there are gargoyles everywhere.
Yeah So Spider-Man feels a little more free form.
I think you have to suspend belief in both series, but like in Spider-Man sometimes you're like just right in plain sight, and you're like, why can't these people? It's like
in my like bright glowing suit.
Yeah. It's broad daylight.
Yeah,
you're really just on. You're on like a ledge above them.
You're 8 feet in the air.
You're like marginally above their eye line. It's just like, why aren't they seeing me at all?
Yeah.
New York thugs all have glaucoma.
Okay, so on go after three. One, two, three.
Batman.
Yeah. Okay. So this next section will kind of tie into navigation, but I'm hoping it'll go a bit more broad than that. I want to talk about the world that these two games build and how you interact with it and how... And how they capture the essence of their superheroes, how faithful they are to Batman and to Spider-Man, respectively.
The Arkham games feel like a well-crafted love letter to the history of Batman.
Mm.
Spider-Man feels like the beginning of a universe.
Yeah.
Or... It feels like, it doesn't feel like the beginning because you're in the middle of it, but it feels like an introduction to a universe.
Yeah.
So like the Arkham games feel like a museum. Mm-hmm. And like in some places they're almost literally museums. Like you're going into the police department and like this room with all the evidence. And you're just walking through like, oh, here's this and here's this. And Peter's backpacks are kind of like
that. Yeah, I was going to say.
But that's more Peter's history personally, I think. Like, it feels like the Arkham world. It feels like the stuff in Arkham was... How do I put this? Like, a reference to the... Not a reference to the past, but it... One of you else say something, and I'll think of a way to... it's clear in my mind, but I need words to put to it.
For sure. Maybe you should do some research on some YouTube videos or some reviews.
I think...
Too deep a reference?
Overall... No, don't. Overall, I feel like, you know, Spider-Man feels... It feels like a place... Like, it's just so more realized, but, like, Batman is such a... It's such a snapshot into that world, but, like, it looks like a diorama versus Spider-Man's world, which feels like is an actual...
Yes. Breathing place. That's what it is. Batman's a diorama where you're playing with all the Batman people. Batman's a playset.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spider-Man is, like... A moving, continuous process.
And right. I think a big part of that is, like, in every one of the Batman games, it's always just like, oh, there's nothing but bad guys here. It's like...
Everyone's inside.
It's like Batman
right,
and all of the evil. Yeah, it's there's always an excuse of, like, why there's no civilians, right? And like so, in that sense, like, there's no... Like, it just feels like a playground. It like feels like, as Devin was saying, like a, you know, toy box playset.
Mm-hmm.
Every space of the Arkham games, I feel like, is set up for the game. Going back to the diorama thing, like, it's set up for the purpose of the game. The city of New York in Spider-Man feels like a city that would exist with or without Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just kind of happen to be like... It's why there's so much, like, stupid detail that doesn't need to be there. Like,
the squirrels!
There don't need to be squirrels.
Dude, those boat
around.
People, though. Those high-res boat people.
Those high-res boat people.
One thing that I really like about the New York world is how many references to Marvel stuff there is in there. The first time I saw that, it wasn't even the like, big tower, the big Avengers tower, obviously. It was... Fogwell's gym.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took a picture of that, I was like, this can't be an actual place in New York. What is this? And I was like, oh, this is a Daredevil reference. Oh my God. And it was so cool. And then I kept finding like other references, and that's just to people who are in this universe, I suppose. And I feel like I've heard that this is going to be tied into future Marvel games.
No one really knows.
But if it is, it's a great jumping off place for it. And they did it, like, super well, just hinting at it. And everybody's going to find those. Like, people are taking pictures in front of all of that stuff and putting them up on the internet. Like, it's a super smart way to do it.
Well, it's cool because, like, those things are, like, landmarks. And like so if someone wouldn't have found those on their own, there is an in-game... incentive to actually do that, which is cool. Because me, as someone who doesn't just explore things as much as Devin would naturally, like, I would have missed so much of that. You know, I wouldn't have had as many moments of like, oh, is that Wakanda Embassy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that this? Is that that? Yeah. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. Do you think one of these games did? Do you think Spider-Man did a better job of, like, kind of showing the character's history then as compared to Batman, where Batman kind of, like, since you said it was a museum, you kind of have to, like, you see it and then you choose to, like, engage with it, whereas Spider-Man kind of, like, leads you to it?
I personally think so. That might be because I like the character of Spider-Man more than Batman. And also, like, I mean, I don't actually know that much about, like, the comic history of either one. Like, I know enough to have a conversation. Same. But if, like, someone actually wants to, like, give me trivia, I'm like, I don't know.
What suit did Batman appear in 1987 issue 306?
I was watching Lego Batman with Valerie last night, and it's just so funny. They're just dropping all, like, that movie's way better than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. But just, like, they're just dropping all these, like, crazy references, and it's like, okay, you guys did your homework.
Yeah. I wish I knew more about both these characters' comic history.
Yeah.
I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man is the one that I know best.
They're both really old.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
I felt like I knew Peter better than I ever knew Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Through the game. Through the world building of the game. Definitely. I feel like there might be more Batman lore. I mean, there's three games worth of lore, so I mean, there definitely is. But even in any single game, like, there's more Batman lore, but there's less characterization, I think.
That was actually something that I wanted to bring up, because Arkham Asylum, I mean, like, by setting the first Arkham game in the Asylum and having, like, you're putting him around literally everyone that Batman really fights. And I'm curious what you guys think about how these two games used their rogues gallery. Do you think one of them depicted the villains better or used them in a more creative or clever way?
So, in terms of Batman, like, I feel like I'm going to say that Batman did it better for me. I think Batman, like, I walked out of playing Arkham City, like, having an understanding of every character that I interacted with. And I mean, largely the way that the game communicates that is, like, through, you know, you actually have to read, like, text documents, but, like, I actually really love that. As someone who has a limited exposure to both of these characters, like my primary exposure to both of them are movies and video games, and, like, I've never read a single comic book from either franchise, but, like, I can tell you so much more about Batman, about his motivations, about like every villain. Like I understand that world so much better, and that was through the Arkham games, and now through that I have this broader appreciation. And, like, that's something you don't really get in Spider-Man. You don't really get that background. It goes so far in the direction of like assuming that the player knows, that it doesn't really bother to explain anything, which I think is fine. But in terms of the question, like I think Batman fills out that world and, like, helps you understand that world so much better than Spider-Man does.
Spider-Man cares more about Peter Parker than it does about like the whole universe happening around him.
I think Spider-Man cares about a couple of characters, and the ones it cares about it fleshes out very well.
Yeah.
And the other ones are just there in service of further fleshing out those few characters. Arkham wants to take you through the whole tour.
And it doesn't care if it gives Scarecrow a fair shake. It's like, why?
I'm just here to be spooky.
Oh, man. There was something else. Oh, yeah. One of the things that I liked about Spider-Man is how it didn't go for, like, it went for a pretty obvious main villain, ultimately, but it didn't, like, throw all of the big villains in at once, you know? It didn't go with, like, the most recognizable ones, like, all of them to start. And I think that was really smart to do for the start of a franchise. So maybe we'll see more of that world building that we're talking about from Batman in future Spider-Man games, but at the moment we just really don't know. It does seem a bit unlikely since they're so focused on building up their like protagonists and antagonist relationships.
Yeah, it does seem like it seems like they have a more focused, cinematic-minded story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what Insomniac does best. And I'm a big fan of that aspect. So let's call this section here, we'll just call it world building. So you guys feel like you've got your idea for what you wanted to say for this one?
This one's hard.
Yeah, this is hard.
Need to talk a little bit more?
The part, I feel like they just have different objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that I would say one is necessarily better than the other. I think they both do what they're trying to do really well.
Okay.
I think this has got to be a go with your gut one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I've got it. Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Spider-Man.
Batman for now.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I honestly could have gone either. I think Batman edged it out. Just because, like, I mean, yeah.
That detail is great, and it's a compelling case. I went with Spider-Man ultimately because I'm okay with, like, since I do know a lot of these characters, I'm okay with not getting a lot of information. Yeah. And just even for me personally, I like being left to imagine things and kind of make up my own stories.
I think I'm with you.
But they got to prove it in Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 is going to be the defining moment for that.
This comparison is a bit premature, but I feel like we're getting a lot of good critiques and conversation out of just like thinking about these two games in relation to each other.
For sure.
So,
And just real quick before we move on, I gotta go really soon.
Okay. Real quick then, just impact/significance. This one's really tough. Spider-Man's only been out for a week. So my question for this, I suppose, is it's obviously got a lot of Arkham running in its DNA. It's a superhero game, like the first major superhero game that's post-Arkham. We're going to coin that term right here, right now. And I'm wondering if you guys think that will have an effect on it standing as an important game. Like, will it ultimately just be overshadowed in the long run in terms of significance to the gaming industry? Or do you think this game will end up, and this series will ultimately end up outshining the Arkham games?
This one's easy for me because I think that, kind of like the last thing I said, I think the second game is going to be the defining moment of this franchise, if it's going to have that resonance or not.
Mm-hmm.
This game proved that they have the ability to do it. It sets the stage for their Arkham City.
Right.
But right now, Arkham influenced all third-person action games of the past however many years since Arkham Asylum came out.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man's a really good game that is either going to lead to a really amazing game, or it's going to be just a good game that was a good game when it came out. That's what I think.
I think significance and impact are two different things, and I'm gonna say
that's a good point.
I think Arkham's impact cannot be understated. I think it's, as Devin said, it was
cannot be overstated.
Understated.
Oh.
Or whatever one makes sense.
I think Evan had it. Yeah.
You cannot overstate. You cannot express how much Arkham's impact was.
I think yes. whatever one makes sense. That's the one. And I totally just doubled down on the incorrect answer. I just like straight up just went all in on it and whatever. But. But then I think Spider-Man, I mean, when you consider the audience who's playing Spider-Man now, mm-hmm. a lot of those people aren't like a lot of the kids now, like it's like they weren't there for Arkham, and like and like this is gonna relate to them on such a level that Batman
That's a good point.
Never could, just because Peter Parker is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's like a hero you can actually relate to more than like way more than, you know, Batman could. You actually like he's like a character. He's not.
You might want to be Spider-Man. Nobody wants to be Batman.
Nobody really wants to be Batman. It's like everybody wants to have his gadgets, but like I can't.
His money.
Yeah, but like I can't say a lot of people want to be Batman, but like I would say like a lot of people can relate and like look up to Peter and Spider-Man both as role models, you know? And yeah. And I feel like nobody's really like this younger generation hasn't had a game like Spider-Man, and even people as old as we are, we haven't had a game like Spider-Man in a very long time. Like, I think this game's impact is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's a little of both, but I think Batman is very significant, and I think both series will have great impact, but maybe Spider-Man more so.
Yeah, I actually agree 100% with what you were saying, and what you were articulating helped me like understand my own
what I was overstating.
What you were understating?
Yes.
Helped me realize like what my view on this ultimately is, and it's that I think the Arkham series is a great game series, but Spider-Man feels like a work of art to me. It really does. Mm. It feels like, because Spider-Man is so much the contemporary hero that we all want to be. He feels very much to me like a mythic type of hero. And allowing people to play as this character, to be this character, to embody Peter and Spider-Man in this game, when he's so good and he tries so hard to do the right thing all the time, and that doesn't always work out in the best way for him, but he still does it no matter what. I think it's a great morality and just morality lesson and like heroic parable. I think it's an awesome thing I think it's a great thing for anybody to experience. And
for me, that's
where I'm landing on it.
Spider-Man moving forward can capture those last conversations of the end of that game.
Oh my gosh.
if the second game can hold on to that and build on top of that, absolutely the series will change what we expect, what we want from video game stories.
Right.
And I hope it does.
Yeah.
So I hope the impact is greater. If I had to say right now, I would probably say Batman.
Yeah,
okay. As it stands, but
clearly different kinds of impacts. So Marcus, where are you? We won't do a big reveal on this one.
We're just gonna.
Do you want to do it? Okay, we'll do it on after three. One, two, three. Spider-Man.
Batman. Hopefully, Spider-Man in the future.
Okay.
That was a pretty even contest. Ultimately, if you're just judging by like categories, one.
Yeah. Spider-Man's a very good game.
Spider-Man's a very good game.
It's a very, very good game. It is a beautiful game.
I think I like it too much. It's so hard. It's so hard for me to like critique it and to take any of my problems with it seriously, because I think the whole of what it makes is so dang good.
Yeah.
That, like, would you even care about these minor problems or the fact that another game did it better, which makes it really hard to write a review for.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I can critique almost any part of this game, but it at the end of the day, like I love this game.
There's so many bugs. I've run into.
There are a couple
so
of funny bugs.
I got a crash.
That many. I've seen a lot of others.
See, I have
the game crashed on me in like the first 4 hours.
I always see bugs for games on like larger Twitter because like millions of people are like playing and like that's and you know that's like the world's best play test. But like this is like the first game in a long time where like I'm like, yeah, I've run into so many janky stuff, but it's still really enjoyable despite that. I think it's a real testament. It's kind of like how we put up with a lot from Bethesda games, and there's just this level of jank. But then, like, Spider-Man is, like, really polished, but there's some things that just kind of slip through, you know?
Well, Bethesda jank is a special kind of jank.
It is.
It's a very special jank. Yeah. Also, like, patches exist. So yeah. It's like, those things are so hard for me to be like, this game sucks because it has a glitch. It's like, yeah, but it won't in a month.
Yeah. Unlike Bethesda games.
It's half the fun. It's a feature at this point with them.
It really is. Alrighty.
Well, are we ready to wrap this puppy up?
Bark, bark.
It's only about 10:15. I can get about, you know, a good hour and a half of Spider-Man in tonight.
Nice. Watch that turn into like 3 hours.
Oh, you say that like a joke, but it's probably not.
No, I'm 100% serious about that. That's what's been happening to me, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad, but it's also very good.
So good.
Well, I hope you out there in listening world have enjoyed us ramble on about
this red and blue caped boy. Oh, if anyone is curious about how the score did end up, Spider-Man won 3 categories and Batman won 2. So for now...
That sounds about right.
So for now, we'll check back when Spider-Man 2 comes out, but for now, TSG prefers Spider-Man over the Arkham games.
TSG recommended.
Is that a polygon
These
joke?
Three dudes talking into microphones.
I didn't mean to make it a joke. All
right.
Well, we'll get a logo. If you want to hear more of our hot takes, you can follow all three of us on Twitter and follow hashtag Daily Hot Take. TopShelfGaming.net, TopShelfGaming on Twitter, TopShelfGaming on YouTube.
.net.
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 .net. We're still around.
Okay, bye.
Adios.